Being a mother is serious business. To be a mom. I'm going to turn to my favorite text related to Mother's Day. It's Exodus chapter 2. And I can tell you there are many, many places in the Bible that you can read about some pretty amazing mothers. But let's read here, Exodus chapter 2, verse 1. And read about Jochebed. Isn't that a great name? Jochebed. Amen. There went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. She laid it in the flags by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him into Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, "Behold, I drew him out of the water." Now, there's a lot of characters in the Bible that are very powerful people. But I would say that there's none in the scripture that has any far-reaching effect as much as Moses did. Moses is probably the most influential and the most mentioned man in all of scripture. He is, of course, mentioned in all of the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. And he, of course, wrote all of the Pentateuch, even Genesis, which is remarkable because he wrote about creation. He wrote about all those early events in creation and those events all the way up to the flood. And somehow, by divine inspiration, Moses knew all of that wonderful information and was able to pin that. And so all the details of the flood, the creation, and all those things were written by Moses, by divine inspiration. And then he's mentioned in the Psalms. He's mentioned by several of the prophets. He's mentioned in the Gospels. He's mentioned by Jesus himself, by the Apostle Paul. Other New Testament writers also in the book of Revelation. He's all through the scripture. And we know him as the deliverer of Israel. We know him as the law giver. And he also was the writer of the first song in the scripture, which is found in Exodus 15, where Moses sang, it says, "And the children of Israel, they sang this song and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." And you can read all the way down to verse, I think it is about 18 there. In that chapter are the words to the first song mentioned in Scripture written by Moses. Moses was mighty influential, wasn't he? Not only that, but he was the lawgiver. And most governments down through the centuries have established, if they were sane governments, they've established their laws on the law of Moses. And so his impact is still felt today. It's pretty amazing, the life of Moses. He was one of the two that returned from the grave and conferred with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. Moses was a mighty, mighty man. But he would never have been what he was if it hadn't been for Jochebed, his mom, his mother, who made some really important decisions, who lived out her life in a very challenging time. I mean, who would want to have a baby at a time when you knew that if it was born a baby boy, that it was immediately under a death sentence? Who would want to face that? But that's exactly, I mean, this was a courageous person. And Moses was born probably in a little hut along the Nile, along with in the midst of all of those other Israelites that were in captivity. And they were under the judgment of Pharaoh, who wanted to annihilate them and weaken them because they were growing and becoming stronger and stronger. So his plan was to destroy all of the male babies, destroy them to weaken the strength and the advancement of Israel. But we're going to have to give lots of credit today to Jochebed, Moses' mother, as we're giving honor and credit to all of you moms. You may not feel like you measure up to someone like this, but I think it's a wonderful biblical example for us to admire and to aspire to be like someone who had such amazing courage as she did. So the Bible says that she conceived and she bare this little boy, child. And it says here in the text that when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him for 3 months. Now, I think that we recognize that having babies in bad times is something that is discussed and disputed. I mean, how many times do you hear people say, I wouldn't want to have a child in these bad times? But the fact remains is that babies are often born. I remember Brother Huff preaching an entire message on this topic, that whenever things get bad, God always sends a baby. And it's the truth. It was F.W. Borum who wrote about this very same thing. There were battles in 1809, two battles that destroyed the power of Napoleon. One, the Battle of Trafalgar, and the other battle that was fought was, let me see, I'm looking here. It was the Battle of, reading in my notes, Waterloo. Should remember that one. The Battle of Waterloo. Those two battles destroyed Napoleon's armies, his navy, his strength, and that was a very important, probably would have been the thing in the headlines in 1809. But instead, Borum said there were a lot of babies born in 1809 as well, that nobody took notice of all these important people that were born that same year. William Gladstone was born in Liverpool. Alfred Lord Tennyson was born that same year. Oliver Wendell Holmes was born that year. Abraham Lincoln was born that year. Frederic Chopin was born that year. Felix Mendelssohn was born that year. And those are just the ones that Borum mentioned, 1809. While all the battles were important, it was even more important the babies that were being born. So for those who would say that, oh, I could never, ever bring a baby into this cruel world, who knows? But that baby might be the very one that God would use as an answer to help turn things around. Like Moses, born into such a terrible, challenging time, but yet he was mightily used of God. Amen. I think that it all has to do with our attitude about babies and children. I think any of you that are around here very much, you know how much I think about babies. I mean, Marsha and I, we're pretty well baby crazy. Only one's more baby crazy than me is Marty. He's nuts over babies. Babies are wonderful. Babies are special. And they make such an impact. And they speak of nothing but great potential. Amen. Children are the heritage of the Lord. They're in our inheritance, and they're really the future. Amen.
The Bible is clear that all of our children are blessings from God, that we need to realize that they are not accidents, they are blessings from God. Amen. And that we are commanded of the Lord to raise up the foundation of many generations, that those that would come would be able to make an impact. Somehow, Jochebed realized that. And you notice now, I know that her husband Amram is, he's in the picture and he's part of this, but this text gives all the credit to these decisions to her. She was making decisions about the baby. What's going to happen to the baby? What are we going to do about the baby? And then it tells why. It says that she saw him, that he was a goodly child. In the book of Hebrews, the word proper child, the word goodly in the Hebrew just means beautiful. And, most babies are beautiful. Amen. But proper didn't just mean beautiful. In the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, when it described him as a proper child, it meant, special or something set aside, distinguished. And that's exactly who this child was. He was special. He had a calling. He had a purpose. And somehow, Mom saw that. You know, moms see a lot of things that everybody else don't see. They see in their children things that nobody else sees. They see the value. They see the potential, and everybody else just sees a baby. But mothers see the future. They see the potential. And I think it's all good and it's right for moms and parents to see in their children the potential of the future. It was a lady by the name of Sonia who was raising up two boys in the city of Detroit, deserted by her husband, the father of the boys. And but she was working two or three jobs to try to keep things going and doing everything she could to influence her two boys. She insisted that they be educated. She insisted they go to the library and that they write her book reports for every book they read. She insisted that they only could see two TV programs a week, and she chose them. She was very diligent in the way that she raised up those two young men in inner city Detroit. One of them became Curtis Carson, who is a space engineer in Atlanta. The other one became Ben Carson, who was the medical doctor, the surgeon that was known worldwide and just recently ran for president. That was this little mom. Somehow, she saw in those two boys potential. Moms see potential in their children. They get a vision for their children, or they certainly should. They should see the potential, and they have a vision. Somehow, when she held the little baby Moses, she didn't just see a baby. She saw a deliverer. She saw a man of God. She saw someone influencing a nation. And as a result, she made some really, really important decisions. Amen. It said, first of all, that the first 3 months she hid the baby. She hid the baby for those first 3 months. Mothers protect. Mothers are protective. And they will do anything to protect their babies. Amen. There's this natural born instinct in moms to protect their little ones. Whatever, they will do their best. That was the instinct that kicked in whenever she knew that her baby boy was born and he was under the threat of death, under this proclamation of death, a death sentence the day that he was born. But yet she hid him away and protected him. I know a lot of people think, well, you can't just protect your children all the time and from everything. Well, you may not be able to protect them from everything, but God can certainly use mothers to protect. I know you get tired of hearing all these stories, but my mother was the most protective mom I know of. I mean, she guarded us. She guarded us. She didn't allow us to turn the TV on ourselves. If we watched anything, she turned it on, and it was only certain things at certain times, and not very many things, to be honest with you. And she would often say, if your dad didn't have this thing, this TV in the house, I wouldn't have it here. She would, and it was she was protecting us, and taking every step to try to keep us from being influenced. When everybody else was getting a yes, you can do that. Yes, you can go there. Yes, you can do that. Yes, you can wear that. My mom was saying, oh no, oh no. She was protecting us. She was watching over us, protecting us. And I wasn't happy about it. My brothers weren't happy about it. We didn't enjoy it. But now we look back and we say, thank God for Mom. She knew what she was doing. She knew that we needed to be protected from the influences that were around us. And if it was true back in all those years ago when I was a little kid, you can be sure your babies and your children need moms and dads who protect them. They need to be protected. Amen. Don't just throw them to the world. Don't just throw them to the Nile. But protect them at every cost. And that's exactly what Jochebed did. She hid the child as long as she could when she realized likely that they were going to be found out. And that she'd come to a point that she was going to have to do something. She was going to have to follow through and do something to put this child out. Then she had a plan. Moms always need to have a plan. And they often do have a plan for their children. And that's good. That's good. Children are too young to know right from wrong. That's why they gave you parents to help you know what is right from wrong. Amen. And so this mother decided, I'm gonna build an ark. I'm going to build an ark. Maybe she remembered the ark that Noah had built for the saving of his house and decided, well, I can't build that ark, but I can build a little ark for this baby. And she built it, and she pitched it so that it wouldn't sink, and she put it in the river. She actually obeyed the commandment of Pharaoh and put the baby in the river. But she didn't put the baby in the river without protection, without preserving its life. There will come a time when, you know, you can't hold the reins any longer, and that you will have to say, okay, I'm going to have to let go and let you go, make your own decisions. You will have to go out into the world. But you don't send them into the world without having some divine protections built into their life. As a matter of fact, the ark, three places mentioned in the scripture, Noah's ark, Moses' ark, and then the Ark of the Covenant. Each one of them, all of them, are types of Jesus, types of Christ. The only place of safety for your child is in Jesus. It's in Christ. And I encourage you, moms and dads, I encourage you to teach your children while they're young, to train them up while they're young, because I'm convinced that during those years that God providentially provided a way for his own mother to take care of him, to nurse him, a span of maybe 3 or 4 years there that she was taking care of him. It was during that time that she was teaching him and she was training him and she was instilling truth in him and telling him all the things. Somehow she got so much down in him, within his heart, within his spirit, when the time came, he was able to say and make a decision himself and say, I am going to choose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. I know really who I am. I know who I identify with. I identify with the people of God. I believe you can instill those things in the hearts of your family, moms, and you are such an influencer to do that. Put the truth in them. And to put Jesus in their life and teach them to know God and to know the Word of God and plant it in their hearts. Amen. Pray for them and be used of God to influence them for spiritual things. And don't leave it up, for just, well, I hope everything works out okay. No, instill in them. It's an important thing for them to learn, to be educated, and to advance as far as learning is concerned. But the most important
thing is for them to learn Christ, to know Jesus, and to have a real relationship with Jesus Christ. And so once they're in Christ, then faith. Mothering requires faith. Can you imagine that mother putting that baby in that little ark in the flags of the, you know, along the side of the Nile River? What faith that that took. What confidence that that took for her to put that little baby Moses there. But there was faith. She had done her part, and now she was trusting that God was going to work in the life of this child to preserve this child. I think it's the neatest miracle in this entire story. The fact that Pharaoh's daughter takes the baby and then hires the mother to nurse and take care of the baby. What a great miracle. Amen. What a wonderful way that God works. And we need to leave things in the hands of the Lord and know that He is able. We need to just be able to step back and watch God work in the lives of our children and our family. Amen. While they're within your hands and within your grip where you can influence them and teach them, then we should do our job. And moms and dads should do our job to teach them and train them. But there comes a time when they are making decisions on their own. And then you place them in the hands of the Lord. And you trust God. And you watch God work. And you believe that God is at work in their lives. That you've planted the seed. You've taught them the truth. You've influenced them for righteousness' sake. You've put Jesus in their heart. But Moses never forgot. Somehow, with all of the education and the training down there in Egypt, all that Egyptian learning, all of that pagan philosophy that was taught him and put in his mind, somehow what his mother had instilled in him in those early years held him. It kept him to the day, and God had positioned him, put him in the place to the point that he likely would have been the heir to Pharaoh. He would have stepped up. He would have been the next one. He likely would have been in that position, but he made decisions. Amen. And if you steal righteousness and truth in the hearts of your babies and your children, then I believe that God can help at a particular time in the future where they can make right decisions and do the right thing and follow God. Amen. And put their life in the hands of the Lord. So Moses made his decision. He left behind the palace, the wealth, all that he learned in that situation. He left all of that, even the possibility of the throne. He left it all behind to follow God's people and God's way. He chose rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy all of the pleasures of Egypt. And I believe those kind of things can be instilled in the hearts of our children. Amen. Praise God. Moms, your influence is mighty. It's powerful. And don't ever think that it's not. But realize that as you teach them and as you pray for them and you are used of the Lord, it will not. His word is not going to return void. God is going to work. God is going to move. And He's going to bring all these things. Just believe God. Step back in faith and watch God work in the lives of your children and even your grandchildren. Amen. We've had over the last few years in our family some trying situations. You never, ever expect to go through some things as you go through. And some of those things, overwhelming. So overwhelming that you feel like we've really failed. We've failed miserably. But somehow, through all the midst of that, God reminds us and He shows up to reveal to us just how good He is and that we need to be living a life of faith and believe that God is at work in the lives of our family. Amen. Our children, their spouses, and even the grandchildren now that are coming along, that God can put His hand upon their heart and use them. I believe that the next generation coming on right now, and that we need to put as much into them and instill the truth in them and pray for them and influence them for righteousness' sake, because we live
in a modern day Egypt. And it's getting more and more challenging these days. And they're going to face a lot. They're going to face a lot of things. Our children, no doubt, will face even more pressures and persecutions than we've ever even thought of. But I do believe that as we instill the truth in them, moms, it's important to live godly. It's important to live a life of righteousness and instill that in the hearts. Amen. Now, I talk about my mom a lot, but let me just say, my mom wasn't perfect. She made mistakes and did wrong, and she admits that. And but I think the bottom line was, we knew she was the real deal. We knew she was sincere. We knew what she said, she meant it. It wasn't something that she was just making up, or it wasn't just a suggestion for us to follow. We knew that even with her failures and her mistakes that she made from time to time, we knew as three young boys, we knew our mother was the real thing. She really loved God. She really served God. And that she was doing her best to teach us to do the same thing. Amen. And we never could get away from that. That kind of an impact upon our lives. Praise God. Thank God for mothers. Thank God for all of you moms here today. Some of you with young children, young babies. Others, maybe yours are grown. Maybe you're like us. You have grandchildren. The responsibility never leaves. It will be with you till the day you die. You will carry the burden of your family till the day you die. God created you to do that, to watch over them. Remember Jochebed. She protected. She had a vision. And she was willing to take steps of action by faith to entrust her children into the hands of the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We're just so grateful for this Mother's Day. We thank you, Lord, for the wonderful example in Scripture we have, Lord, of mothers, Lord, who made righteous decisions. And you honored them and you blessed them because of that. And I pray, Lord, for moms in this service today, that your hand would be upon them. And if there's anybody in this meeting today that they're not walking with you, they're not serving you, Lord, that you would just stir their heart to their spiritual needs. Because, Lord, without you, we are powerless to really teach and train our children in the ways of the Lord. We must have you in our lives. So I pray if there's any parent here or anyone in this service, Lord, that they're not saved, they don't know you personally, that, Lord, they wouldn't be able to walk away without calling upon the name of Jesus. And we're trusting you to do a work in hearts today. Praise God.